Amen and amen. Well, this morning we want to welcome all of those that are watching by way of live stream all over this whole wide world. Can we put our hands together and just welcome the folks as well? All right. And also, we would like to welcome Durban Christian Center Phoenix to Pastor Merv and all of the elders and leaders that are there. Can we do that one more time? Durban Christian Center. And in case you didn't hear about it, yes, the tent did come down. We had some gale force winds yesterday, and the tent has come down. We did manage to take out most of the equipment that was in the tent. There's still a couple of things that were in there, but for the most part, we are in this building, and we're going to stay in this building, and we're just going to monitor. We might have to go to 3 services next Sunday, so just be on the lookout, and if we do, it'll probably be a 7 o'clock, a 9 o'clock, and an 11 o'clock service, just so that we can get everybody in, but we'll just monitor that. And I think if I was Pastor Ricardo, I'd be very happy right now, because obviously we're going to, you know, zhuzh up this building and put more lights and put whatever it is. And at least now we're not putting money, into the ground, so to speak. We're not throwing money away. So that's probably where we're going to be right up until we build our new church. And if you weren't here this morning earlier on, we had a meeting with the architects and all the, it was about 12 to 15 of the different departments, and everything is on track. It's all looking good. And I want to tell you, we're going to have a fine building that's going to be coming up here in the not too distant future. Amen. So I want you to keep on praying. And if you're sowing, please continue to sow. If there's ever been a time when we need folk to be liberal and generous with their giving, it's now. I know you don't need, we don't need to run gimmicks here. We don't need to do any of that stuff. You are a generous people. And the people that are here are the people that are ready to build with us, and we really appreciate that. I want to thank everybody that was there last night that came and was helping us and moving the stuff. And in the rain, people were doing all kinds of things, and we just want to thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your commitment. One of the pastors called me and he said, you're obviously doing something that's making the devil mad. And I do believe that that is true. And every time you are intentional about soul winning, every time you're intentional about going all out to create an experience for people to encounter God on a Sunday, every time you're intentional about the church growing and about getting people involved and activated, you can bet your bottom dollar the devil's not going to be happy. Amen. He's not going to be happy. Well, and so we just keep on going. I know that some folks out there are unkind, and they will be unkind. There are unkind people in this world that are used by the devil and motivated by the devil, but we know what God has called us to do. And when you know the mandate and you know the purpose, it don't matter what anybody has to say. We are here to do what God has called us to do. You know, I was just, I think it was 2 Tuesdays ago, where I was teaching at the Shepherd School of Ministry. And we have a great crowd of people that are coming at the Shepherd School of Ministry on a Tuesday night. The place is jam-packed. And we were talking about how that Paul writes and says he's been entrusted with a stewardship of a dispensation to bring forth a particular aspect of the truth of God to this generation. Then I went how it was that people like Catherine Coleman and A.A. Allen and William Branham and all of these folks were given the responsibility of bringing the dispensation of healing. And when I think about Kenneth Hagin Sr., he was tasked with the responsibility of bringing the dispensation of faith into this generation. And then I said, what about Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who has faithfully stewarded the responsibility of bringing in the joy and the new wine, the laughter of God. Amen. And we think of people like Dr. Fred Roberts, and what was he tasked with? And he was tasked with the responsibility of bringing in present-day truth under that apostolic covering. And so what have we been tasked with? There's a mandate, not just on my life, but a mandate on every one of your lives here today. You could have been in any country in this whole wide world, but God put you in South Africa. And then you could be in any city. Some of you could have been in Bloemfontein. You could have been in Pofada. You could have been in Blikkiesfontein. But you are here in Durban. Amen. And then being in Durban, you could have been in any other church, but God put you, established you, and planted you in this house, Durban Christian Center. And so I'm trying to tell you that together we are going to steward the dispensation of what God has entrusted to us to this generation. Amen. And let me tell you, nothing is going to stop us. Nothing is going to stop us. Why? Because Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Let me tell you something about the church. The church is not a little 2x4 thing. Ever before God had a Jew, a Gentile, or the Israel nation, he had a church. And we were always in the heart of God. In fact, before the foundation of the earth, God had a church. The church has never been plan B of God. Oh, well, something, the Israelites, you know, Jews, they got hardened and they rejected God. And, Houston, we have a problem. Let's go to plan B. Let's go to plan C. We were never plan B or plan C or plan D. We were always in the plans of God right from the word go. And so there's nothing that will stop the church from advancing. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm coming back for a victorious church. I'm coming back for a glorious church. And that's you and me. Can you say praise God? So this morning I want to continue with my sermon series, and we're talking about clueless. Not that we want to be clueless, but I was talking a little bit about how what to do when we don't know what to do. How what to do when we don't know what to do. That's what we spoke about, being clueless. And if you remember, we spoke about King Jehoshaphat in the book of Chronicles. And just to quickly recap, we spoke about in chapter 17 of how he was a godly man that followed after the ways of David. And he didn't, follow after Baals, the Baals, and set up altars and sacrifices. He followed after David and sought God and walked in the commandments. That's what 2 Chronicles 17, and if you look at verse 3 and 4, and because of his obedience and commitment to the things of God, in verse 5 it says the Lord established the kingdom. And in verse 6, his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. And then not only that, but he sent out his leaders into all the region. And he had 5 leaders that he sent out. And I said to you, that represents 5-fold ministry: the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And he sent out these leaders, and they went out into all the regions, and they preached the vision, and they preached the word of the Lord, and they ensured that the people followed the commandments of God. And then after that, he sent out 9 of his Levites, the priests, and they went out, and he sent out 2 priests as well. And the 9 represents the fruits and gifts of the Spirit, and the 2 is the number of witnesses. And so he developed a consistent lifestyle and a consistent pattern of the word of God and following after God's word. And I said to you that it's important that we build according to God's divine pattern. It's important that you build your business according to God's divine pattern. It's important that you build your family, men of God and husbands of God and fathers of God here today, that you raise up your family according to divine pattern. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then we said, because of that, in verse 10, the fear of the Lord came upon all the kingdoms of the land. And not only that, but the Philistines and some of the enemies and the Arabians, they came and they laid gifts at the feet of Jehoshaphat. And it was tremendous to see what happened as a result of obedience and just developing a pattern of consistency. Amen. Tremendous blessing. Tremendous blessing. In verse 12, it says there that Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful. Verse 13, he had much property. And not only that, but we see the kind of army, the kind of leaders that were raised up. Amen. And I said to you that consistent action creates consistent results. Can you look at somebody and tell them, consistent action creates consistent results? Hallelujah. And so I mentioned about how we do the reap vision. And the reap vision is really about reaping everything Jesus accomplished for the glory of God. And we do that through winning the lost at any cost. And we are going to be more intentional than ever about reaching our city, winning the lost at any cost. There is no amount of money that you can put on reaching souls and winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then not only that, but then we want to establish them. Come and disciple people so that they find freedom. And then we want to activate the folk. And by activating, we mean we want people to find their purpose. If you haven't found your purpose, beloved, if you have not discovered your purpose, we want to help you find your purpose. Let me tell you, when somebody finds their purpose, it just changes perspectives. It changes the whole thing altogether. You wake up with intentionality. You wake up with zest. You wake up with passion. Why? Because you begin to discover that, you know what? Despite my past, despite where I come from, despite the fact that I'm wrapped up in weakness, I have a purpose in God. You have a purpose in God. And we want to help the people of Durban and the people of South Africa and the continents of the world. We want to help people discover their purpose in God. Can I get an amen? How many of you are going to help us to help people discover their purpose? If you haven't found your purpose, we want to help you find your purpose. But if you have found your purpose in God, we want you to help us and help others discover their purpose. Amen. And listen, when you begin to serve in that purpose and you begin to function in that purpose, the last thing is you begin to find out that you actually do make a difference. You make a difference. Let me tell you, there's nobody here that is not called to be salt and light. Everybody here is called to be salt and light. It means that everybody that finds their purpose can help make a difference. Look at somebody and tell them, just by you sitting next to me, you're making a difference. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them, when you were worshiping God, you made a difference. Come on, look at somebody right now and said, when you lifted your hands, you made a difference. Hallelujah. You make a difference. We can together make a difference. Hallelujah. We can make a difference in our city. We don't need our city to be overrun by corruption and poverty and sickness and calamity. If we stay together and we find our purpose in God and our purpose in this local church, we can make a difference. Lift your hands and say to after me, God has called me to make a difference. God has called me to make a difference. Out there in Phoenix, we want to tell you, you're not there just on a limb. You are part of this vision, and I want you to stretch your hands to the camera right now and say, Phoenix, God has called you to make a difference. Come on, Pastor Mervyn. Come on, all the elders. Come on, all those lay pastors out there. God has called each and every one of us to make a difference. Can you say amen? Amen. So I began by saying to you that when you don't know what to do, when you have your back against the wall, because in 2 Chronicles 20, basically, Jehoshaphat hears that the Ammonites, Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir are coming up against them. And so the Bible says he begins to pray. And when he prays, he says, God, actually, we don't know what to do. I'm jammed. But if you read chapter 17 and chapter 18 is when a problem arises. Chapter 17 tells you why it is that they were able to do what they did. They had developed a consistent pattern of seeking God, a consistent pattern of praying. So I said to you, number one, when you don't know what to do and you are clueless, anybody in this place today, Yeah, if you're honest, you will say, Pastor, there's been those moments when I just didn't know what to do. Well, when we don't know what to do, we keep doing consistently what we've always been doing. Hallelujah. So if you've been praying, just keep on praying. Just keep on coming to church. Just keep on lifting your hands and worshiping. Hallelujah. Just keep on doing the right things. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say praise God? The kingdom of God does not function on a sometimes part-time basis. The kingdom of God, the dynamics of the kingdom. We're not running this race in a sprint. We're not sprinting this race. So it is about consistently doing the small things, the right things each and every day. It's not the big things that you do that actually cause you to be successful. But it's the small things that we keep on doing, the right things every day. We keep on just getting up and spending time in His presence. We keep on coming to church. We keep on going to that life group. We keep on worshiping God even when you don't feel like it. You don't feel like putting your hands up. You don't feel like praising God. Your toe is sore or whatever the case is. But you just keep on doing it. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? It's not what you do once in a while that shapes your lives. It's what you do consistently. It's what you do bit by bit, little by little, every day, 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 until you reach your final destination. Here's a clip that I want to show you about people that were journeying to the Antarctic. Let's have a look.
Antarctica, 1911. The celebrated explorer Robert Scott leads an expedition in a race to the South Pole. He has with him some of the best scientists and navigational equipment of the time. In good weather, he can march over 30 kilometers a day. In bad weather, he sits it out in his tent. It takes Scott 2.5 months to cross 1,400 kilometers of frozen wasteland in minus 30 degree temperatures. But on January the 17th, 1912, he's devastated to discover he's been beaten to the pole by the Norwegian Roald Amundsen. Unlike Scott, Amundsen chose to get up and cover the same distance every day, no matter what the conditions. His secret was consistency. Scott never made it home.
Consistently, that will cause you to reach your final destination. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. This morning I want to go to chapter 18 and have a look at chapter 18, because now there's a problem that comes in when we get to chapter 18. And in verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. If you look at history, you'll see here that it was Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, who marries Ahab's daughter by the name of Athaliah. And chapter 18 is really all about the consequences of having the wrong friends and the wrong influence. Now, I want to just tell you this morning that bumping into the wrong friends and wrong influence is one thing, but actually staying in that relationship is another thing. When you get to verse 2, it says, after some years, he went to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and Ahab persuaded him to go up. Ahab, we all know who Ahab was. He was married to that woman by the name of Jezebel. And so Ahab was a wicked man who didn't love God, didn't love the ways of God. And Jezebel also was that way inclined. And they actually served Baal and they worshiped Baal. And so I want to tell you here this morning, be careful of continued relationships that bear no fruit in your life. Why? Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because they may just be platforms upon which the enemy is waiting to set you up and to take you out. I have come to realize long time ago that not everybody will celebrate your advances in the things of God. Can I get an amen in this place? Not everybody is going to be happy because you're pressing in and you're hungry for God. Not everybody is going to be glad that you're studying the Word at DCCBI. Not everybody is going to be glad that you're attending Shepherd School of Ministry. Not everybody is going to be glad that you caught up in worship. Not everybody is going to be happy that, you know what, you're getting promoted and you're serving and you're going for it. And here we see that Jehoshaphat gets into an unholy alliance with Ahab. And the Bible says that Ahab persuaded Jehoshaphat. That word persuaded means to entice. It means to lure. It means to mislead. It means to instigate. It means to stir up. It means to deceive and to provoke. And you look at the intensity of that relationship. By the way, Jehoshaphat answers Ahab in verse 3. Ahab says, are you going to come and fight against Ramoth Gilead? And look at how Jehoshaphat answers him. He said, of course I am. He says, I am as you are and my people as your people, and we will be with you in war. And so I want to just encourage you this morning. Jehoshaphat was lured into believing that his commitment to his relationship with Ahab would eventually bear much fruit. Jehoshaphat, however, knew the power of consistency. And here's what I want to tell you. God hasn't called us just to be consistent. He has called us to be consistent in doing the right things with the right people. Can I get a better amen this morning? Lift your hands and say after me, God has called me to be consistent in doing the right things with the right people. Pastor, what are right people? What do you mean by right people? Right people are those who have the kingdom and the work of the kingdom at heart. Right people are those who have a heart to see the lost come in and that they are discipled and established and activated in God. Come on, right people are those who have a heart to see the sinners being swept in by the multitudes, hallelujah, who have a heart to build the church and build the local church, to build the kingdom. If they have the kingdom at heart, they will have you at heart as well. Let me say that one more time. The right people, if they have the kingdom at heart, if they have the work of the Lord at heart, if they have the heart of building the local church, they will have your heart as well. They will have you at heart as well. Ahab did not have a heart for the things of God. He did not have a heart for the kingdom. And ultimately, he did not have Jehoshaphat's heart. How do you know that? As you read down, you see there that when it comes to the war, Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, I'm just going to go in disguise. I'm going to go in plain clothes. But you are going to still dress up as the king of Judah. And so what happened? When they came into the enemy's territory, the enemy saw Jehoshaphat and they thought him to be Ahab. Whereas Ahab was just lurking, he was in stealth mode. And he had deceived Jehoshaphat. But how many of you know? Listen, let me tell you. You can't cheat God. You can't deceive God. Whatever a man sows is what he will reap. And the Bible says that while Ahab was just walking around plain clothes and he was in stealth mode, an arrow just flies aimlessly and strikes Ahab. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say it better and better? Amen. So I want to tell you in this place tonight, this morning, come on, we've been called to be consistent, doing the right things with the right people. And so Jehoshaphat, Ahab says, come on, I need you to come to war with me. I need you to fight this battle with me. And because Jehoshaphat had been schooled in consistency, something in his spirit man said, hang on a bit, yeah, don't we have some prophets that can prophesy to us? Oh, yeah, absolutely, Jehoshaphat. And Ahab calls all his charlatan prophets. He had about 400 of them. And they all begin to prophesy according to what King Ahab, the wicked king, wanted. And one by one, they say, yay, go up, for the Lord will give this to you. But they're all prophesying under a deceiving, lying spirit. And Jehoshaphat, because, again, of consistency. See, when you are consistent in the Word, when you are consistent in worship, when you are acclimatized to the presence of God, and something out of line comes, and something in error comes, and something that is of lies come, your spirit man, because how do you gauge the standards out there? Lest it be by the word level in your heart. Hallelujah. People are deceived today. You know why? Because their source, instead of this book being their source, Facebook is their source. And they believe everything that Facebook puts on there. Instead of going into this book and spending time and developing a pattern of consistency in God's word, so that when something wrong comes, so that when something erroneous comes, your spirit man goes, I'm not too sure about that. And one by one, all of these charlatan prophets begin to prophesy, but because Jehoshaphat was schooled in the word because of a lifestyle of consistency, he says, oh, I don't know about these prophets. Is there not somebody else that is able to prophesy according to the word of the Lord? And Ahab saw, there you go as well. We do have this crazy guy. His name is Micaiah. But you know, he never prophesies anything good about me. And he's probably locked up in some place. He's probably in the loony bin right now. But there is such a man. Let me tell you something. It's important that we stay in the word. We stay in worship. We stay in the vision. And we stay together. We stay together. Look at somebody and tell them two is better than one. That's what Ecclesiastes says. I'm going to close in just a minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe, woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Hallelujah. See, I'm just trying to tell you that we've got to be consistent in this thing. Being consistent is doing the right thing with the right people. Being consistent is staying together, staying in fellowship, staying planted. Come on, if we're going to reach our city, if we're going to build this church, we're going to do it together. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Bump your neighbor and tell them, stay in the house. Why am I saying that? Because two is better than one. Did you ever notice when an animal hunts for deer or buck? Huh? Did you ever notice that? A lion, a lioness, does it go run for the pack and find just anybody? It looks for what? It looks for one that has been pulled off from the pack. Let's have a look at this next clip and just see what I'm talking about. So bump your neighbor and tell them, stay in the house, stay connected, stay protected, Stay covered.